is everybody is good and safe and healthy. So, was a very interesting long year. Going through a process like North of Falcon under this new paradigm definitely was challenging. And I want to thank everybody for being adaptive and understanding and being as we've jumped through kind of a couple of multiple formats. You know, I think we got to have the only and the last public meeting for Willapa Bay as part of the statewide North of Falcon process. We were the last public meeting before everything got shut down, and then through the teleconference and then to the Zoom platform, which I think is working really well. So I just want to thank you all for that, being patient and helping us get through this together. So we have gone through finished the PFMC process and we're in the process now of working on a fishery proposal in the form of a 102 and scheduling out the rest of the formal rulemaking process to move forward with 2020 fisheries planning for Willapa Bay. So kind of want to just schedule this today so we could all kind of go through that and have some discussion about the results. So here in a minute, I'll turn it over to Barbara, and Barbara will walk through kind of the fishery proposal that we're going to put forth in a CR 102. But before we do that, I want to talk real quickly. A lot of us are really interested in what happens in the ocean, especially the ocean right out in front of us. So I just want to go through a little bit of what was finalized at PFMC there in terms of or what's proposed for marine areas 1 through 4, specifically, mostly focusing on marine area 2. So the final proposal out of PFMC will be for a non-treaty total allowable catch of 54,000 Chinook and 28,500 coho. So I know that kind of, it's a little bit different than what we talked about the last time we met. And obviously there's was some movement there in the last few days. What that means for recreational fisheries is 26,360 Chinook and 26,500 coho, marked coho, in the non-treaty recreational fisheries. Specifically for Marine Area 2, that fishery is proposed from June 20th through September 30th, or for 9,800 marked coho subquota and a 1,300 Chinook sub-area guideline. So, and the regulations are kind of dynamic as they move through the season there from June 20th through the 28th. It's one salmon daily release coho. And then beginning on June 29th, before I jump on, from June 20th to June 28th, that fishery is open 7 days a week. From June 29th, through the rest of the season, that fishery is open Sunday through Thursdays, or just 5 days a week. It's a two salmon daily with only one maybe a Chinook and release wild coho. The final treaty options that came out was 35,000 Chinook and 16,500 coho. So before I jump over to Barb and get into the Willapa specific fishery proposal, are there any questions, any comments about that?
Yeah, this is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
What was, how come they're going to retain just Mark Coho? And what data do we have on the percentages of released coho in the ocean?
Bob, I don't have that information.
I think that's real critical, Chad.
I understand, Bob, but we're not here to discuss ocean fisheries. I understand your interest there, but ocean fisheries are marked selective for coho. We can definitely, I can definitely chase down some of that information with the folks who do that, Wendy Beagley and Kyle Vandegraaff, and get back to you outside of this call.
I requested you do this back a couple of meetings ago that we had, and you was going to get it for us. You never did. And also, I got a question. You say all these determinations were made by staff. Who is staff that made these recommendations?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Bob.
Well, go ahead. Back up again later. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Seeing no other questions about ocean stuff, I'll turn it over to Barb, and she'll walk through the fishery summary. And just for those folks who maybe don't have it up or not able to see their video, I'll remind folks that the fishery summary page was what was posted to the Willapa Bay Salmon Advisory Group webpage on the DFW website. And I also, when I sent out the email, attached the model run when I sent that email out on Tuesday, I believe. So go ahead, take it away, Barb.
Hi, everybody. Like Seth said, I'm just going to walk through the fishery package that we're planning on filing in the CR 102. I'm going to try and share my screen if I can manage to do that. Can you guys see that if you're on your computer?
Looks good.
Yes, we can.
Okay. So what was that?
I think that was just Marlisa confirming she could see.
Oh, okay. So I'm just going to walk through the freshwater regs, and then I'll do the commercial, and then I'll just summarize based on some of the harvest rate management objectives that we have. So I'm just going to run through this fairly quickly. So like Chad said, starting here in the marine area, for us, we're going to start on June 20th, open with the area.
Yes? Barb, this is Russ. I have a question. You said that relates to the purpose of this call. You said this is what you're planning on filing. Okay. Is there anything that we can say today that would change what you file?
I would imagine you
address
could.
That. So hold on, Barb. I'll get that. Right now, this is what we're planning and putting forth in a CR 102, which would be our proposed fishery package.
Yes.
The public is able to comment for the whole time, as long as we get through the 103. Comments, this call is being recorded today. Comments that you put in about this fishery proposal will be considered as we move forward through the process that culminates in the filing of the 103, which would be the final regulation package. So the answer to your question is yes, all comments will be considered as we move forward moving towards that CR 103.
But they will not be considered as to what you file.
Right now, this is what we're looking at filing in our CR 102 as our proposed fishery package. That is just a proposal. Then, because of the APA, we will go through that 35-day public comment period. These comments that you say today will be included on the record. In terms of what you'd like to see. We'll take all that input in, we'll go through it all, we'll take a look, and then we'll end this process, the formal rulemaking process, with the filing of a CR 103.
Thank you.
Can I go for just a second, Chad?
Can we just get through the fishery summary?
Well, yeah. I was just hoping that when we do the comments, can we just do it like in an order and just be done with it so we can just go through each person at the end of it?
Yeah, that's that's something we'll take a look at. I just want to try and get through the fishery summary here, and then we can, you know, have some open discussion. Thanks. Go ahead, Barb.
Okay. So as Chad said, starting June 20th, we're going to be fishing under the same rules as Area 2. And he walked through all of those rules. It'll run through July 31st. There are two pieces to that marine area. So as those rules change, we'll just be following those same rules. As of August 1, the fishery is still a two fish bag and retaining both natural and hatchery coho. So everything in this fishery, as it's been in the past, is releasing unmarked Chinook, and everything for freshwater is going to be releasing unmarked coho. The marine area won't be releasing unmarked coho, so that way I don't have to say it every single time. So starting here on the Willapaw, what I've done here on this page is I've highlighted where the changes have occurred so that you guys can see them a little easier. For Willapaw River, there have been no changes that we made other than the natural coho piece. For South Fork Willapaw, the date of the fishery will close on September 30th, as opposed to the January 31st date that was there before. For Fork Creek, there were no regulation changes there other than the natural coho piece, the release. That is our ADA fishery, so we didn't make any changes there. North River and Smith Creek, both of those river systems will close to salmon for the entire season. For Nima River, Nima River, North Mill, and South, all of those sections in all three of those river systems will close on September 30th with the release of unmarked coho. And the upper section of North River, it was already scheduled to open on October 1st. So since we're closing on September 30th, that section of the river will close to all salmon for the entire season. For Palix and Niawakam, they were already closed, so we're just leaving them as is. For Nacelle River, the only change that we made was the section between Highway 4 to the hatchery. We are closing that section until October 15th, and it will open for coho opportunity on October 16th. That's a release wild coho as well. And Bear River will close to salmon fishing for the entire season. So for the commercial fishery, we have, we're starting in week 37, which is the week of Labor Day. We have one day in three different areas, and all three areas are using tangle net gear. For the remainder of the season, for those, what is that, five weeks, they're going to be using small mesh gill net gear for the remainder of those days. For the first 4 weeks of those 5 weeks, they're just fishing 2 days a week in the four areas. And in week 42, it's a mix of 1 or 2 days in area 2U, 2N, and 2M. So as far as management objectives go, right here, we have a management, we've got a 13.2 for the Willapaw, and we have a 13.7 for the Nacelle River. We have an expected escapement for coho of 13,800, a little over 800. And we have an exploitation rate for chum for the entire fishery package of 4.7. So I guess we'll turn it back over to Chad.
Okay, before we get into comments or discussion, does anybody have any clarifying questions about the fishery proposal that's on the table right now?
Yeah, this is Bob. I got a question. What is the date on week 37?
That's Labor Day week.
What the hell's the date, Barb?
It's September 6th. It's
September 6th through the 12th, Bob.
6th through the 12th. Thank you very much. And also, what's week 42?
It is October 11th through the 17th.
Thank you.
Yep.
Marlisa, did you just unmute yourself and want to say something?
Okay, so it looks like we don't have any clarifying questions, so we can just get right into discussion. So I'm just kind of going to go down the list of advisors here and see if anybody has anything they want to add or any questions or things they want to get on the record to consider. So Ross, I see you got your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a few comments. one comment, as we discussed before, is the models and the way they act when you put known conditions on the ground in are not credible. The other thing is that we're operating out of, with this, we're operating out of part of the policy that's never changed. You gave us a lecture last time about the policy, but you left out the part that it said what the purpose of the policy is to conserve wild runs. There was a court case that said it's okay if you do that. It's in the policy, hadn't been changed, and this doesn't do that. It doesn't manage for escapement and a upper trajectory, as the policy calls for. Overall, this is putrefying Willapa Bay with all these closures. The closures are designed to move wild fish around on paper so more can be killed someplace else, not conserved. Okay, an individual, a non-commercial citizen who has the kinds of comments tends to get degraded in public by management and by other advisors as they try to protect their and conserve their own fishing. They are not treated professionally. There is too much deception involved here. When we ask what are the rules about HSRT last year, we were told, well, we still do things like P&I. This does not contribute to P&I. And so that's really deceptive. I suspect you've deceived the commission too. You certainly have tried to conceive us. The other thing is that it would seem that the sea stories about unruly sport fishing in the Nazelle were highly over-exaggerated. The anti-snagging rules are very easy to enforce. You have to use a float. You don't have to see anybody snag. You don't have to see anybody with a foul-hooked fish. You just see them not using a float, and they get a ticket. It's very easy to enforce. It was designed that way. Also along these lines, okay, a CCA has an ombudsman who deals directly and relates with enforcement to help cooperate with each other with sports fishermen. Okay, you check with the head of enforcement with Region 6. Is there a snagging problem and a significant snagging problem in the Nima River? The answer from your head of enforcement was no, there is not. Okay, so we have more deception there that apparently you have accepted. Okay, you've wiped out two of the three sport fisheries in the Nima River. You've eliminated the main sport fishery for Chinook in the Nazelle River. It's supposed to be a recreational priority, and you're moving them out where they can be killed with nets, which have a higher mortality rate. And so that's what's unacceptable about this. And I appreciate the fact that it'll be included in the CR-102 process for my comments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ross. I'm just going to go down the list here. Marlisa?
And since we're doing roll call, maybe if you don't have a comment, just say no comment or something like that.
Marlisa, you may be on mute if you're talking. Okay, I'll continue moving on and come back. Oh, did you? Okay.
Hey, this is James here. I'm a little worried Marlisa's having audio issues. I heard a comment made about a speaker, so maybe at the end we circle back around and see if she's gotten there.
Yep, no, absolutely, James. That's
Thanks, Chad.
What I was thinking. And I'll just keep in mind, folks, that while this is an opportunity to provide comment on our fishery proposal, this is not your only opportunity. There'll be other ways you can get your comments in through email or in through the rules coordinator or other opportunities. So moving down the list, Bob.
Well, first of all, from what I see, it is not a viable fishery for the commercial side. You've absolutely couldn't put any more time in the recreational side. It's just absolutely crazy. And I'm really concerned because As I said earlier, and I'm going to PDR this right now, I'd like to have a list of all the staff members that was included in making the decisions on these fisheries. I'll send it in written form too. But this is just absolutely crazy. And like I say, when I got to ask what week, you know, what's the dates on a week, what happened to the efficiency we used to have when Barb put this stuff together? Because it's gone to hell. And I want to see the breakout, you know, it just goes on and on. And as I requested before, I want to know what the hell the summaries were for the spawner surveys on coho for 2019. I mean, I don't understand. Well, you got computers and you're out in the field. If you enter everything into the computer, download it on your hard drive, it's all there. I don't understand how come it's got so complicated for you people. And I think it's the thing that they're doing in the ocean on the way they're determining, as well as the inside fisheries, on the way they're doing it to determine it, because where the fish are unmarked, they're coming out of North River, Smith's Creek, and Bear River, and the Pay Lakes. It's absolutely crazy. And then also one of the requests I made, that there be no fishing in the middle or South Nema. And I think it's critical, if you were turning around and looking at redoing the Middle Nema watershed, that's the model watershed for the WIRA 24 lead entity, it doesn't make any sense to have that fishery in the middle and south fork of the Nema. Not at all. I'm totally opposed to that. And like I say, I do not believe that the commercials are going to have a viable fishery when it's set up. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Chad, can I add something here? This is James.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, really short and sweet. But Bob, you know, Chad and Jody and Barb are taking all your comments about the fisheries. I just had a specific question. I'm kind of trying to take notes on the things you're suggesting maybe we need improvement on, and you mentioned a PDR, but I just listed, you know, you want dates included on Stat Week, you want to know who is involved in this process, and you want to know spawner surveys for coho. If those are the three tech things you need, that's an email away. So if I miss something there, let me know and I'll try to work on that email so you have that stuff.
Well, I sure appreciate it, but I asked for it back two of the phone conferences we had previous. But I appreciate that. You can send it to me. I won't PDR it then. I'd rather work straight across the board without having to PDR stuff.
Yeah, I know that for sure. So I'll send you an email. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. Let's see. Andy.
You got me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, if staff is comfortable with this and they feel they've put the best season possible together for everybody and maximize days and fishing time, then go ahead and move along with it.
Okay, thanks for that comment, Andy. Moving down the list, I got Mara.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. So I have no specific comments on the fishery package that you've put together here. I do thank you for all the time and energy that you and staff have put into this. I did want to mention that I found the discussion on uncertainty and issues with the modeling and the data and how that might be included in the future in some kind of a buffer, kind of in line with the policies. We make sure that we have more certainty that we will reach these policy objectives. I found that discussion to be really good and productive, and I look forward to more of that going forward with the department.
Awesome. Thank you, Mara. Continuing down, I got Tim.
Yeah. I want to clarify something about putting it into a CR-102. When you put it into a CR-102, which you're going to, you've made that clear. It's put in the CR-102, and at that point in time, no substantive changes can occur unless you then go through another 30 to 45 day process called a CR-102 supplemental. You're going forward with the day, in my opinion, with a policy or a season that was preconceived before we started. It ignores the policy that the commission has. It ignores almost all of the comments, and I agree with Mara. We talked about a buffer, no buffer. What you did is came up with option this K. We didn't really even discuss it. We didn't get into detail with it. You dumped it on us at the last minute. I can remember nobody who endorsed K. No one who understood you were closing down stream after stream after stream. In fact, the commentary was, please don't do that. I think Mara led that, okay? No buffer. So what did you do? You did what you were going to do before you took in from us. You ignored almost everybody on these phone calls. You took an erroneous aggregate attempt with 14% aggregate. It was not appropriate. You knew it was not appropriate. Anybody could read and see it was not appropriate. And you did it anyway until the commission intervened. So then you backed up. Now, under that 14% aggregate, you got a 20-some percent, 27, 24% impact on the Nassau. When that aggregate had to be undone, then you did turn around and introduce K. And slipped it right at us. And the effect of K is that you had to operate at 14%. So how you got the same amount of net time out front is you eliminated the recreational fishing in the Nassau. This surprise trick of going through these. Now, I went back and checked. And I found these days and seasons shut out in Model K. When you brought up Model K and you had that kind of a gut shot, you were morally, professionally bound to tell us that that was hidden on the right side of a small little print down at the bottom. You didn't do it, Chad. You didn't do it. I have no more confidence in you and this staff than the man in the moon. You ignored everything but the request to close down freshwater fishing for the benefit of the nets. That's what this is all about. You did it last time when we could only consider Andy's. I don't know where Andy comes in with this, but you guys could start a fight with a rock. And this is inappropriate. It's not conservation. And you did it, and at the end of the day, from the different plans and the different models that people endorsed, you moved about $20,000 ex vessel value. Now, if you got 20% of the fleet fishing, that's about $1,000 gross sales per person. With such low fish count, your margin of profit is going to be horrible. So let's just give an assumption of 20%. For 20 fishermen, 20% of the commercial fishermen fish, and they got a 20% net profit, which would be remarkable. You're talking about you put all of this policy at risk, all of the conservation disk, closed 50% of the river streamage in a trick. And the gain is a possible $200 to the average license holder's commercial. $200. This is sick. It's beyond belief. The disrespect that you have shown us from the misinterpretation of the policy, which was intentional, the totally ignoring of our advice, sitting here today saying, oh, we'll listen to you. No, you're not going to listen to us. You haven't before, and you're not going to now. And not only that, you mentioned the APA. You can't even put in substantive changes unless you go to a CR-102 supplemental, and you haven't got the time to do that. So this is a con job, and it's just horrible. I don't know how you people do this. But I'm going to agree with Bob. I want to know who did this. I want to know when they did it. I want to know why they did it. And I'm talking about the staff, JT Austin, Brian Blake. I want to know. This is the public's business. Who did this? Because there's going to be consequences to this. There has to be. You cannot continue to abuse the public trust. And that's a separate issue from abusing the resource. So I'm going to tell you, I will oppose and not agree to deal with that model in any fashion that you're using, K. You came up with an artificial fish. You stuck it in there. That artificial fish was paper nacelle, or excuse me, NEMA. Paper NEMA coho. That created a bigger pool. As a result of that, you came back and calculated 178 would be killed in the NEMA fresh water, those NORs. They don't arrive until October 8th. They aren't even there. And then we're fishing on a release all wrecks. So that means 14% mortality or so on the release of those. So guess what? That 178 would require damn near 2,000 fish. And there won't be 200. It's a trick. It's disingenuous. It's inappropriate. It's unprofessional. And you people in that department are the ones that created this, came up with your interpretations. And it's inappropriate. It makes it very difficult for the public to interact with this department when we face this type of distrust. So, no, I will not support K. I will not support a fisheries without a buffer. I won't. I can't, in good conscience, go forward. I'm sorry if I sound offensive to individuals. But you did it. Your words, your actions. And the only thing I can do is say, you're not putting my DNA on this embarrassing season you're proposing. You're not going to do it. I'm not on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for also bringing up the CR-103 process. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. If moving forward with substantive changes would require a filing of a supplemental. We have done that in coastal fisheries in the past. Most recently, I believe Grace Harbor, 2015 or 2016. So we will, take all these comments back. We'll go through it all in relation. And if we need to file a change form, then that's what'll happen. But we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So thanks for your comment. Let's see, moving on, Francis.
Unmuting. Am I there?
Yep, we can hear you, Francis.
That's a tough act to follow. Any points I had have already been covered by Tim, so I won't go into any of those. But I will say I have a document for Bob, a PSC document. And he wanted to know how many coho were being wasted out in the ocean. It's about 25%, Bob. I can refer you to the PSC document. It's table I-9 within the review of 2019 Ocean Salmon Fisheries. It's page 27. Those percentages for the last few years have been running between 24% and 27%. That includes hook and release mortality and drop off mortality from both the commercial and the recreational fishery. And with that, I'll mute myself.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you for that document. Hopefully that will help Bob out with some of his questions. And then moving down, I got Greg. And then I noticed we've got some members of the public we'll try and get to as well. Oh, and Greg and then Lance. Sorry, Lance, I forgot you down there.
Go ahead. You got me?
Yep.
Hey, Yeah, I was trying to take in a lot of that information from Tim as well, and I guess I'm confused as far as our roles in the advisory group. And I thought we were just there to advise. You didn't have to do what we were saying anyway, as I thought the rules were that we were just there to say our piece and hope things worked out. But that going forward, I mean, I don't know how anybody could look at this season and say that it was a win for the commercial fishery. I mean, we're knocked back on a lot of days. It's going to be a complete dismal fishery. There's no doubt about that. And also, hey, I also want to say, I think you guys did a great job closing the Nacelle River. You got to have a place for them to go. We're all going to try to get this 5 million fish release out of here to help the whales, to help everything, make another world-class sport fishery. And so I think it's a good idea, because I think you listen to property owners, you listen to recreational fishermen on the Nacelle River, and they told you it was a mess. Nobody had, so I commend you on that. I think it'll do good. We'll get our egg cake. And I look at it and to say that the commercial fishery is going to take, these hits, just, I think that's just a ludicrous statement. So, with the dismal season that we have. So, that's about all. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Moving on, we got Lance, and then I think I'll try and circle back with Marlisa and see if she was able to. Go ahead, Lance.
Do you get me now?
Yep, I can hear you, bud.
All right. I just a couple of comments. I'd like to say you have become such a mischievous, sneaky little person, Chad. I don't know how you did that, but you did. I think people on this advisory board had needed to stop and realize that Chad is not God Almighty as we think he is. And probably most of the stuff that rolls down into Chad's lap, or the shit that comes through this thing, is not what Chad wanted or not what any of us wanted. And I personally think that Chad sits here and takes these phone calls. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why we have this advisory board. We're here for putting in our comment. It was basically set up for that reason. It wasn't set up for us to manage the fishery. We don't manage any other fishery in that manner other than this Willapa Bay. I personally have gotten to the point where I feel like we should disband this group. We get nowhere. We end up just fighting meeting after meeting after meeting. It's nothing but stressful to all of us. I can't imagine the amount of years we've taken off of our lives in this thing. I hear comments about the policy, and I almost laugh, because I look at the policy and the things that we've done, and by we, I mean all of us, that the policy says we shall not do, and we've done them from day one of the policy, and we continue to do them, and we act like when it comes to something that we want, we cry like a bunch of babies because we point to the policy and say, oh, we're not doing what the policy says. But when it works in our favor, we stand on the sideline and cheer. It sickens me to listen to people look at the policy or state the policy and say we're not doing what the policy said. This policy is the ruination of all of our fisheries. It ruined your marine north end of the fishery. What did we do? We raised more fish within the Willapa system. That's not what the policy says we should do. But I don't hear anybody screaming about it, because what it's going to do is bring back that recreational fishery. I've gotten to the point with this group and this whole process I can't believe what we've become where we started 20 years ago. I don't know why you do it, Chad. I have not been to a meeting yet where somebody said, Chad, you did a good job. Barbara, you did a good job. I don't know why you want to put yourselves on the phone and get kicked every time. You know, the policy, in my mind, and you may not believe it, but I think it sucks. I think it completely destroys Willapa Bay for everyone. And until we get to the point of looking at it and saying we should have a great sport fishery, we should have a great commercial fishery, instead of looking at it saying we want everything for ourselves and nothing for the other people. We live in these communities as commercial fishermen. When we talk about the Nacelle River and the snagging that goes on there, we're there every day. We live there. I've lived there my whole life. The river was closed down for 25 years for one reason. And you act like that just went away, and it hasn't. So if you can't come together and try to work as a group and try to make this place a better fishery for everyone, why in the world are we doing this? Why do we get on this phone, we waste our day? Everybody in my family's tired of hearing this. I have 25 phone calls a week about it. It's absolutely crazy. So my point to you, Chad, is I'm begging you to save your sanity and somehow get out of this group unless they come to a point where they can work together. And I don't personally see that ever happening. Well, that's my two cents. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Lance. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and circle back to Marlisa, see if she was able to work out some of her audio issues. And Marlisa, if you can't, you know, feel free to send in your comments to willapabay.dfw.wa.gov. But go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. This is Marlisa, and I do have some comments. Excuse me for my struggling with my computer. I was able to pull it up on my office computer today. I did have quite a few comments. One that I have circled and starred is last time we talked, made some heartfelt requests asking for a conservation buffer. And I'm sad to see that when you put out your own option, that you didn't put something in, not 1%, not 10%, nothing, zero for a conservation buffer. We're long past trying to add that into our modeling efforts. This year should be the year where we do that. We should allocate impacts, a number for impacts for conservation in Willapa, as we try to put things to right. And I would like to address the policy. I'd like to thank Lance for his heartfelt comments. But prior to the 2015 policy, there was literally a downward trajectory on all of our wild fish that we had with very little thought, no thought to recovery on those. I still feel that, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement with coho. You have this prior to the policy, and we're seeing the effects of commercial fishing in the terminal areas prior to the policy, with no coho in the palix, no coho in very little in the middle Nema. We do get some overflow, some straying up in there for sure, and we do get some hatchery Chinook straying up the middle Nema. There's really not much fishing besides later coho that goes up there. But we don't have much coho left in the main stem of the north Nema. We, with an aggregate fishing ability on coho, the department and commercial fishing has depended on nacelle, you know, to make that aggregate balance. And correct me if I'm wrong, as long as the nacelle can meet that aggregate needs on unmarked Coho, not a single other tributary in the Willapa needs to produce a single fish. And that's wrong. I think the Nema was once the Middle Nema was once a great contributor, and it no longer is. I think that the policy, if we can get it to work without having commissioners stand down portions of it, it has a chance to make it work. And when I look at this attempt to, you know, restore some conservation and put things back to right, if we can fix it, there's more fish and more impacts to allocate for commercial fishing later on down the line. It can't be like it used to be. It can't ever be like it used to be. We are, I remember in the 70s, I was told that this was going to be a hatchery management system. This was going to be, you know, managed for commercially fishing in the Willapa. And I really think that the department has done a poor job of standing up for conservation during this time. And I think that with the help of advisors like myself and Tim and Francis and Ross, that we're trying to stand up for recreational fishing and not have you, you know, shut down part of the bay like you did a couple of years ago for want of six impacts. That was shady and unforgivable. Also, I have some big notes here, trying to follow up as you went along. In week 37, what is the first day that you're putting the nets in? Chad?
Yep, no, sorry, just making sure that you were done talking there.
So week 37 is
scheduled from the 6th through the 12th. We haven't... We haven't settled on a specific day, but, you know, that's Labor Day weekend, probably somewhere between Tuesday and Friday.
Okay. And there's just one day allocated in that.
Yes. One day with tangled nets. Yes.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I think that's appropriate. You know, if we get a big rain, I hope that you're open to some in-season management that might include even an extra day for the netters there down in the south, or an increased bag limit in fresh water sometime during the season if it looks like we're getting you know, more than we anticipate. That would be wonderful. But I hope that we can talk about in-season management that could benefit everyone. Let me flip my notes over here. You know, I have traveled a lot, and wherever I go, I'm always interested in checking out their fisheries. And, you know, China, Japan, Vietnam, all of these areas that have had heavy terminal commercial fishing have wiped out anything that they had that's close to their shores. And I think it's long overdue for us to be paying more attention to conservation and freshwater opportunities. We need to be managing from the gravel out, not from the ocean in. We need an advocate within the department that goes to the ocean fisheries allocations to get more for the terminal area, instead of letting us fight between, you know, people in our community that are trying to make a living and those of us that like to recreational fish. Where is my advocate? I've asked this over and over. Where is my advocate within the department, within you, Barb, Chad? You know, where are my advocates that are getting more fish over the bar? That this comment and this question does not go away. Neither does the request for a buffer on conservation. And the last thing I have to comment is I don't think it's right to shut down the nacelle. I don't think it's right to close down any freshwater recreational opportunity, even if it's catch and release. We can't be closing down freshwater under the guise of creating additional impacts for commercial use. This is a topic that we need to have at a later date. And that's all I have to say. And with that, I will mute myself.
All right. Chad, did you have anyone else that you wanted to go to?
I was just going through a really awesome speech right there, and I was on mute. So, Marlisa, thank you for your comments and all your advisors, all the advisors for all your comments today. We got just a couple minutes left, so I'd like to give a chance if there's anybody in the public who would like to say anything. Now's your chance. I only got a couple of minutes here, and then we got to end this call. So.
Chad, this is Lyle Cabe. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. So I would like to echo Ross and Tim and Marlissa's comments on closing the opportunity in the nacelle. I talked specifically with Captain Chadwick, and he says there's no more snagging in that area than normal. There's always going to be some. And the rules that are set up there with the bobbers makes it very easy to ticket people who are snagging. And that's a big section of the river that is closing opportunity for sports fishing in the fresh water. And it's just going to pile people up in the lower river, and you're going to have more of a snagging problem with that. And thank you for taking my comment.
Okay, thanks, Lyle. Anybody else in the public? Okay, Ross and Tim, I see you got your hand up. We got 2 minutes left, and then I got to get out of this call. I got other meetings to attend to today and other work to get to. So if you can be brief, let's go to Ross.
I would just stress the NEMA shutdown October 1st. It's senseless. You remove a chum fishery and a stream where you've maximized chum production, and you remove it, I assume, because you think you're transferring coho out to where they can be killed with nets. And for most of that period, there are no coho to transfer out. I fish that area regularly, and I average less than one coho a year. Turn them back when it says we'll turn back a wild one. They're always in the last day or two of October or in the first week in November, never earlier. And so you're closing it for no reason. It's just if you're providing wild fish for somebody, they're just paper fish. They don't exist there. The few that come in October run straight up the river. And it's an invalid thing. It's just taking it out on the sportsman for no good reason. As far as the policy goes, people knocking the policy, knocking the advisor group, I would only knock its effectiveness. Its purpose is a noble. Its purpose would have both harvest groups in better shape right now if it had been followed. Folks were given what they asked for, and it ruined it. And the department gave it to them. And without a policy and without an advisor group, we have nothing. I have to agree with Lance the way it's actually instituted. We had six people that agreed on model H or I last year. It's just as if we weren't even there. So, of course, it does no good. And the results in the bay show it. You need to make a change, a big change, in the way you behave, not the policy. Thank you.
Thanks, Ross. Tim, I just, if you got to be brief, bud, so we can go.
Well, I don't want to waste your valuable time, but I want to answer why we are here, why we're doing this. When they passed the EPA, departments were given the authority to adopt rules. They would go out and adopt rules that would then blow up unintended consequences everywhere. The legislature went back in and established a requirement that you have a stakeholders process. You cannot run a WAC without a stakeholders process. So I've been in many of them. I've never seen anything like what I've experienced with Fish and Wildlife. It is not the requirement. It was supposed to bring in people with knowledge and information that the department did not hold on its own. This department gives us all the finger on either side of the coin, and has decided it is God. And the whole purpose of us coming together is to avoid a season or a whack that the department is about to file and stuff down our throat. It is abusive. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Tim. And thank you all for taking time out of your day to join us and have this discussion. Appreciate everybody's comments, and we'll be in touch soon. So thank you.